It's great to have Nigel and Molly Watts still with us. Many of you have met Nigel before, the last time he was up, which was back in August, I think. If you haven't met Molly before, then you can chat briefly to Molly afterwards. Nigel, just come up to the front. In fact, I won't ask you a lot of questions because last time you were here, I asked you lots of questions. So you're a Kent face now already. But welcome back to Peebles. Thank you for doing yesterday. You'll be delighted to hear that you don't have to listen to me today because Nigel's bringing God's word to us. So let's just pray and then I'll hand over to Nigel. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the richness in it. Thank you for the way that you speak through the pages of a book into our hearts and our minds, and you bring it to life by your Spirit. Thank you for the work that Nigel and Molly do with Precept. Thank you for the work that they did yesterday, opening up the word to us then. And we pray now that as Nigel again speaks, you would inspire him by your Spirit. And open our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our ears to understand come to see something new of you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. It is an absolute joy and privilege to be back. I was here in August in a different place, I think. And I just want to thank Ian and Lindsay for having us back here. I want to also thank Richard and Chris for their tremendous hospitality. Thank you so much. We're in a gym this morning, aren't we? Are we in a gym? Yeah. So I was just wondering whether we should... And I was in the army for many years. I don't know if any of you were in the military. Any of you in the military at all? Military connections? No. Nobody. Oh, some of you. So I just wonder whether we should do a workout to start with. Maybe some jogging on the spot, some press-ups. No, not too many. lots of no. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, listen. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to go through a passage of scripture together. In fact, we just sung about it. Isn't that a coincidence that we sang that song about the Lord my Shepherd? So you should all have a sheet, and you should all have something to write with. And I'm so pleased the children. Have we just got two children here with us this morning? I'm so pleased the children are with us this morning because I want you to follow along with us, okay? So this is going to be, we're going to be doing this together. We're going to be doing this together. So it's not just you listening to me. This is going to be interactive. So I hope you're up for that this morning. And... have you all got something to write with? Okay. So for those of you that were with us yesterday, this is going to sort of be a bit of a refresher. Also, you were going through a different passage this morning. For those of you that weren't with us yesterday, then this may be something new to you. And I just pray that this is going to be really helpful to you. On the front of the sheet, it says this. Know God better. Life transforming and practical Bible study skills to get to know God better and grow in your relationship with Him and other people. Put your hand up if you want that. Yes. Amen. And we're on a journey, aren't we? We're on a journey of discovery. And as a ministry, our heart is to, as we have been personally blessed by being taught how to get to grips with the Word of God, to get to know Him better, we just want to share that with other people, which is why we're here this weekend. So, if you want to open up your sheet, you will see on the inside of the left-hand side, Psalm 23. A very well-known psalm, a very well-known psalm. But what I'm going to do is we're going to go through this together this morning and, if you like, look at it from a slightly different angle, what we call inductive Bible study. And so I'm going to read it through first, and in fact, I'm going to pray, It's always good to pray, isn't it, before we come to the Word of God. So let me just pray, and then I'll read it through together, and we'll carry on. So, Father, thank you so much for today. This is a new day that you have created. You remind us every day. Luke chapter 1, verse 73 says that Jesus is the sunrise from on high. So if we think about that, every morning as the sun rises, you give us a reminder of Jesus. So we thank you for him. And thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can find out more about him as we read your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells within us and teaches us and guides us. And Lord, we pray that you would do that now in your precious name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read through Psalm 23. And then I'm going to start asking you some questions. So please answer me as I start asking you the questions. Is that okay? So here we go. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so could we have the first slide up? So there's the question that I'm asking you. You do not have to be the president of the Baptist Association to be able to answer this question. Okay? So, who are the main people in this psalm? Anybody? The Lord. Anybody else? And me. Yeah, anybody know who the me is? It's the who wrote this psalm? Anybody? David. A guy called David wrote this psalm. King David. Okay, so could we have the next slide, please? Right, what we're going to do, this is where you need your pens. I'm going to read it through again. And every time you see a mention of the Lord, or he or you, I want you, and we're going to do this together, I want you to put a triangle over the reference to the Lord, okay? So if you could just go on to the next slide. So there would be an example. Okay, so you can see that. So I'm going to read it through, and if you see a reference, could you say it out loud so that I know that we're following on together? So here we go. So the Lord. So put a triangle over the Lord there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He, thank you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, mark the you there, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You, excellent, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Fantastic. One of the things that we do when we encourage people to study the Bible this way is to mark words. And we do that because it helps you to focus, it helps you to slow down, and to really see what the Bible text is saying. Another thing that we do is we then make a list about what we have marked. So on the right-hand side of the sheet, you have a blank sheet of paper there. What we're going to do now is we're going to make a list. We're going to look at all the triangles, and I want you to tell me, using the words in the text, what we are learning about the Lord. Okay? So, verse 1. What do we learn about the Lord in verse 1? Anybody? He's my shepherd. Thank you, Patrick. So, and if you, with your, is it David? Could you, so each verse, I think we've got a, so he's my shepherd. So write verse 1 on the right-hand side of the sheet, is my shepherd. And as we do this, I want you to be praying and thinking and asking God to teach us what he wants us to see as we go through these verses. Okay? So verse 2, what do we learn about him in verse 2? Sorry? Yeah. What does it say? He used the words in the text. He what? He makes me lie down, doesn't he? So thank you for that. So write down verse 2. He makes me lie down. Think about it as we're going through the verses. He makes me lie down. Where's the next place that we marked a reference to the Lord in verse 2? What did we learn about him? What's it say? He leads me. So write that down. He leads me. Think about that. He leads me. Right, verse 3. What do we learn about the Lord in verse 3? Wonderful thing. First part of verse 3. Anybody? He restores my soul. Who here wants their soul to be restored? Oh, that's only about a third of you. I'm sure there are more than that in your church that want their souls restored. Okay, so he restores my soul. Right, what's the next thing that we learn about him? He guides me. So, he guides me. Who wants guidance in their life? We have a shepherd who guides us. At the end of the verse, so he guides us in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to ask you a why question. Why? What does it say? Say it out loud. For his name's sake. He guides me. We'll come back to the where he guides me in a minute. So write down that. For his name's sake. All we're doing is we're just taking the words from the text and making a list about what we're learning about the Lord. All right, now look at verse 4. What do we learn about him in verse 4? Anybody? Thank you so much. You are with me. Doesn't it say that there? You are with me. Who needs to know that God is with us in life's journey? Yes, he's with us. You are with me. Right, what else do we learn about at the end of verse 4? Now, we may not understand this fully, but what does it say? What does the text say? Your rod and your staff, what do they do? Right, so write that down. Your rod and staff comfort me. As I say, be praying, asking the Lord to show you, what's this, what do you want me to learn, Lord? What do you want to teach me? All right, verse 5. Anybody? What do we see about the Lord in verse 5? Yeah, thank you. So write that down. You prepare, just look at the text, you prepare a table before me. Prepare us a table before me. Where's the next place in verse 5 we march? Reference to the Lord. Thank you. So again, you have anointed my head with oil. So write that down. We may not fully understand exactly what that means right now. That's fine. We're just making a list about what we see about the Lord. I've anointed my head with oil. Okay, verse 6. What do we learn about the Lord in verse 6? Anybody? Yeah, we see that he has a house. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He has a house. Lord has a house. So, verse 6, he has a house. Okay, now, let's look at that list for a second. Let's just look at, we don't just want to skip over it. We've made a list, some wonderful things about the Lord. Let's just have a little chat about it. We see in verse 1, the Lord's my shepherd. Question for you. What? Any shepherds here? Any shepherds here? No shepherds here. You're a shepherd. You're a shepherd of the sheep. Okay, what does a shepherd do? He looks after sheep. What else does he do? He what? He guides them, yes. He feeds them. He cares for them. He protects them. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. Think about that. He makes me lie down. What does that conjure up in your mind? He makes me lie down. Peace. Sorry? Peaceful. Peaceful. Rest. Rest. Trust. Restoring. He makes me lie down. Thank you. He makes me lie down. In other words, we're getting a sense of he knows what's best for us. Patrick, lie down. You may not think you need to lie down. Lie down. He makes me lie down. We'll look at where he makes us lie down in a minute. He makes us lie down. He leads me. It doesn't say he kicks me up the backside. He manipulates me. He leads me. He leads me. Okay, verse 3, he restores my soul. Where are some people in Scotland today going to have their souls restored? Church. Okay. All right. What a to the supermarket, shopping. To the gym. We're in the gym. Yes, to the gym. Where else do they go to try and have their souls restored? Football. Thank you. Football. Sorry? Cinema. And on, yeah, and on and on and on. But do those things, can football restore our soul? No. There is one who can. There is only one who can. I'm really sorry, I can't restore your soul, Richard. And you can't restore my soul. But there is one who can. And his name is the Lord. He restores my soul. He guides me. He guides me. Where does he guide me? What does it say? Where does he guide me? In paths of righteousness. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So think about that. Think about that. I say I'm a Christian, following Jesus. He wants me to walk in paths of righteousness. It says for his name's sake. So that when people see you following Jesus and you're following that path of righteousness, they are actually drawn to him. But the converse is true. If we say I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not walking in a path of righteousness, then what are people going to think of the Lord that we are seeking to follow if we are not walking in paths of righteousness? What are they going to think about God? Not a lot, are they? So do you see, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so that when they see you walking that path, they are drawn to him. All right. So verse 4, we see that he is with me. We're going to see the circumstances in which he's with me in a minute. Your rod and your staff. That's why I asked if you've got any shepherds. So a rod. Imagine me holding a rod, okay? What might a shepherd use a rod for? Okay. Guide them to corral them. To protect, okay? There are predators out there, aren't there? So if you've got a rod, you're gonna be able to protect the sheep. What about a staff? So imagine a staff, big tall staff with a crook on the end. What might a shepherd use a staff for, do you think? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I saw that. Yes. So if they get stuck down a hole, guess what? You can put the staff around. You can pick them up. They're stuck in a hedge. I don't know. I'm not a shepherd, but I'm told that sheep are not the brightest in the pack. They wander off, and they need pulling back. I'm also told that a staff is really helpful at the end of the day when they go into the pen. They're brought back into the pen. The shepherd will hold the staff out like this and will count the sheep as they go underneath the staff. They count them in. And if there's one missing, what's he going to do? He's going to look for him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because you're going to protect me. You're going to pick me up when you fall down. You're going to protect me. Brings me comfort. All right. He prepares a table before me. Why do we prepare a table? Why does anybody prepare a table? To have a meal. To have fellowship around a meal. You prepare a table before me. He wants fellowship with us. Did you know that? That the Lord wants fellowship with you and with me. And he has anointed my head with oil. Now, sheep, apparently, flies get into the nose of sheep and they breed whatever they breed and it goes into their brain and they go scatty. And sometimes you'll see sheep banging its head against a fence. So what they do is they take the oil and put it in the nose and it prevents that happening. But we also know that oil in the Old Testament was used to set apart people, priests, kings, for a special purpose. Oil was used for that. In the New Testament, people were anointed with oil as a welcome to their home. You read that in Luke chapter 7. If you look later on, read up Luke chapter 7, verse 46. And Jesus actually rebuked Simon the Pharisee for not anointing him when he came to his house. So, anointing my head with oil. And verse 6, he has a house. He has a house. All right, so just some simple things that we're learning about the Lord, having marked it and made a list and thinking about it. All right, what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask you to mark references to the person who's writing the psalm. So could we just have the next slide? So, yeah, the psalmist. And the next slide, one more, please. So I want you to, and one more. I want you to mark with a circle, and I'm going to get you to do this on your own, every reference to my or I, referring to the psalmist. Okay, so just give you a minute, go through the psalm on your own, and mark the I's and the my's, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about what you've marked. So when you've done that, I want you to think about what you've marked. What did you notice? What did you see? What's God showing you? What's he teaching you? Think about what you've marked. Okay. Anybody? What did you see? What did you notice? Thank you. What's your name, please?
Janet,
why did you say that? I totally agree. Why do you say that? Very personal. That's the best answer, that is, isn't it? That's the best answer. Very personal. Yes, somebody else. Go on. He's very loving. Yes. Anybody else? I shall not want. Why did that speak to you?
Because of everything that you've done already here.
Fantastic.
Reassuring.
Sorry?
Reassuring. It's all about self, me, my.
Yeah. Yeah. Relationship. Do you see the relationship? How close would you say, marks out of 10? 10 being very, very close. How close is the relationship between the author and the Lord? 10. It's really close, isn't it? Another question I can ask you is, how well do you think the author, David, knows the Lord? Oh, well, doesn't he? So I could ask you and me this question. How close is your relationship with the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. Don't have to answer me. How close is your relationship with the Lord? How close do you want it to be? And how close is it? Because that's one of the things that we see as we go through this psalm. Very close. He knows him. He knows him so well. Okay, what we're going to do now is we are going to... there are different places that are mentioned in this psalm. Okay, there are six different places. So if we could just have the next slide. So where is the Lord my shepherd? We could ask that where. It's another type of question that we can ask. Where is the Lord my shepherd? And we're going to underline the six places or locations. So if you have the next slide, the first one is green pastures. So it says here, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside where? So underline quiet waters. Right, verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me where? In the paths of righteousness. Underline that. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. Underline valley of the shadow of death. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me where? In the presence of my enemies. Underline that. And verse 6. I will dwell. Where will I dwell? In the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. For how long? How awesome is that going to be? And guess what? We're all going to be there together. How amazing is that? This is just a preparation for what we're going to be living together forever, worshipping the King. Right, now think about this. Think about this for a second. Look at verses 2 and 3. Look at the places that you marked in verses 2 and 3. What sort of places are those, in a general sense?
Nice.
Beautiful, nice,
calm.
Good places? Would you say good places?
Soul restoring
place. Fantastic. Right. Look at the places that you marked in verses 4 and 5. What sort of places are those?
Scary.
Dark places. Difficult places. Places of struggle. Would you agree with that? There's a contrast, isn't there? Between the places in verses 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. So we've got good places, verses 2 and 3. Tough places, difficult places in verses 4 and 5. What about the place in verse 6? How would you describe that? Huh?
Heaven.
The best place. The best place. So we've got good places. We've got not so good places. And we've got the best place. So tell me, is there anywhere where the Lord is not our shepherd? Any circumstances of life that we're going through where he's not our shepherd? No. No. Maybe some of you need to hear that this morning. There is nowhere where he is not our shepherd. All right, now, very quickly. We're coming into land. All right, so can we have the next slide, please? Right, I want you to put a box around the action words. So let me give you an example. Go to verse 2. He makes. Put a box around the word he makes. Put a box around the word he leads. That's an action verb to do with the Lord. Look at verse 3. He what? He restores. Put a box around restores. He what? Verse 3, guides. Put a box around guides. End of verse 4, he what? To do with the Lord. He comforts. Put a box around comforts. Verse 5, you prepares. Also verse 5, you have anointed. Just look at those words. He makes, he leads, he restores, he guides, He comforts, he prepares, he has anointed. This is our Lord. This is our Lord. Okay, next slide, please. What conclusion does the psalmist come to in verse 6? And how confident is he? Surely. Surely what? Goodness. Is that a good thing? Yes. And what else? Loving kindness. Is that a good thing? Yes. Surely. As a result of all these things in verses 1 to 5, surely goodness and loving kindness will what? Follow me. And if you look at the Hebrew of that word, it means will pursue me. It will pursue me. For how many days? All the days of my life. All the days of my life. Okay. Right. I'm going to ask you a couple of other questions before we finish. Think about this. How does the psalm start? Or with whom does the psalm start? And with whom does the psalm finish? The Lord. Does that bring to your mind any other scriptures? The Alpha. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And if you were to look up Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, Revelation chapter 21 verse 6 and 7, and there are some other verses in Isaiah, you will see the Lord saying, I am the Alpha. And we see that in the psalm. It starts with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord. Another question for you. What did you notice about the marking of the Lord and the me? Or another way of saying, which came first? The Lord was before the me. Would you agree with that? As you look at the psalm, having marked it, the Lord goes before me. Well, guess what? In life, the Lord goes before me. He's there to guide us, to lead us, to show us the way. And just by marking the Lord and the me, we see that the Lord goes before me. Another quick one I want to show you. What was the pronoun that we marked in verses 2 and 3 for the Lord? He. What was the pronoun we used in verses 4 and 5? You. Why do you think that is? Why does it switch from he to you? Think about it. Sorry? Okay, why else do you think? Why has he switched from he to you? Yes. Right. Sorry?
He's looking after you.
Looking after you. What's the... Go on.
It's to show that it's a two-way relationship.
Yes. What are the circumstances in verses 4 and 5? What sort of circumstances are they? They're difficult circumstances. So what do we see the psalmist doing? You is a more personal pronoun, is it not, than he. He refers to the Lord as you. It's more personal. It's more personal because he's going through a tough time. The relationship is closer in the tough times. When you and I are going through tough times, often we're driven to our knees and say, Lord, I need your help in this circumstance. Will you come alongside me and help me? And we see that in this psalm. It goes from he to you in the difficult circumstances of life. Okay. Just as we conclude, you could argue that Psalm 23 is a picture of the life of a believer. picture of a life of believer. What do I mean by that? In the first two or three verses, come to the Lord and receive the blessings that he has for us. Life's journey is not going to be easy, verses 4 and 5. There are going to be some tough times ahead. But there is a future and a hope and a place that God has reserved for us. Verse 6. Okay, next, I think the last slide. So I think the last slide is, I'll just go up one more. Go up. Okay, so how does this psalm relate to you? How does the psalm relate to you? Is the Lord your shepherd? If you want to find out more about the shepherd, then you may want to read John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You may also want to read in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34, where God is rebuking the shepherds of Israel for the way in which they were not looking after the sheep and what God would do, stepping in as the good shepherd. So that's an Old Testament example. And maybe how should we respond to what he's shown us today? Okay, next slide, please. This psalm and the instructions, the questions that I've asked you going through it, are available on the Precept Scotland website as a free download. You could print it off and you could take a neighbour, a friend, someone that maybe is on a journey of discovery who the Lord, and take them through this. Okay, next. Did you know that there are 150 psalms? There are 150 psalms. This is just one of 150. You imagine what a spiritual exercise it would be to go through each psalm. It'd take you a little time. And maybe just mark references to the Lord. Pick out the references to the Lord. And then go back and make a list about what you learn about the Lord. You will be amazed at what you will see and what you'll learn about the Lord. It's a bit of a challenge. Maybe take you some time, as I say. All right, so I think what we're going to do as we finish is let's just read through the psalm together, and then I'll pray, and then I'm going to hand back to your shepherd. Okay. Just before we do, does anybody have anything they want to say? Any questions? No? Okay. So let's just read through the psalm together. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.